So I'd like to share a little tonight about being happy and joyful. And this is going to be a recurring theme all the way through the advance. And I'll probably steal somebody's teaching now, and I don't care. Here we go, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. So great a cloud of witnesses it talks about in verse 1. Those great a cloud of witnesses was Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jesse, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Baruch, Samson, Jephthah, David, Smitty. What's that? Smitty. Sandy. Samson. Samson. And all the prophets. And, you know, these men, I remember one time when we used to meet as a WACOR, we'd look up every one of those people and what it was that God showed them that they believed for. It's pretty cool. One was written in the stars, if I remember right. But tremendous people who believed. They had information given from God, and once it was given from God, it was it. It was done. It was done. And even with Jesus Christ knew that he would rise from the dead. So even though he endured the cross and with just a horrible beating, just horrible, he endured the cross with joy because he knew what was coming. He knew he was getting up. So great a cloud of witnesses. And Jesus Christ is the greatest witness, the greatest example there is. And that's why it doesn't say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jephthah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in David. Although they had sins when they walked with God, they weren't perfect. Jesus Christ was perfect. So God wants us to think the way Jesus Christ did. So, and look at verse 2 again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I remember vividly my first year in the Word. Somebody taught, there was probably Howie in one of his 8-hour teachings.
Wow.
Howie would just teach and just, well, he'd just read. And read and read. And we would just be on the edge of our chairs, man. It was God's word. But somebody, I don't remember who, and it really doesn't matter, shared this verse, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And they explained, it's a done deal. You don't have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps to believe. You don't press real hard and believe, you know, till your head explodes. That's not believing. That's really stressing out. Once you realize that Jesus Christ was the author and finisher, and I can't remember in the original what that was, the beginner and something, but anybody remember that?
Alpha and Omega.
The beginning and the end, then, of our believing. He was it. So we should stop trying so hard and let him do what he does. You know, Jesus didn't rise from the dead, now he's sleeping, just waiting on the gathering to come back. He's making intercession for the saints. He's a mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And boy, oh boy, he finished it. He finished it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, hand of the throne of God. Man, oh man. I'm sure the crucifixion wasn't fun. He was so beat up and marred that his own mother didn't recognize him. You got to be pretty beat up for your mom not to recognize you. And if you read the word, which you have at times, you see the punishment he went through. And that punishment wasn't pleasant. It couldn't have been pleasant. You know, we have our issues. We haven't been punished. We haven't been beat to a pulp. You know, Jesus, the author, the beginner, the finisher of our faith. Boy, oh boy, it's a done deal. All we need to do is trust God and see his word come to pass. He endured the crown of thorns that was beaten upon his head. The beatings, the spitting in the face. But the joy he had was knowing what was coming, knowing that he was doing what God wanted him to do and what was ahead for him. We have that same joy. We know what's ahead. The gathering together is ahead. He's coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to knock some ear balls. No. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more worry. We have an end game. We have, that's our destination. And so, yes, we go through stuff in this life, and it isn't pleasant. I don't think Jesus Christ was going ha, ha, ha when they beat him. And I don't think that Jesus Christ didn't feel the pain, because the word says he did. And none of us, I've been beat up before, but never like that. So now he's seated at the right hand of God. God raised him from the dead. He's seated in the heavenlies, and we're there with him spiritually. So the joy that was set before him, joy just means the gladness or the delight that was set before him. That's what joy means, gladness or delight. And joy isn't or shouldn't be dependent on our environment. It shouldn't be dependent on our circumstances. We get happy when we hear from people. We get happy when God does stuff. We get joyful too, but joy isn't dependent upon that. Joy is dependent upon what God's done for us by way of Jesus Christ. That's the joy we have. You know, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. That should thrill us to pieces. That should make us really happy. And being happy is a good way to be. Being delighted is a good way to be. Being glad is a good way to be. It beats being depressed. It beats being anxious. It beats being doubtful. It beats being fearful. None of us want that. So why do we put up with it? We shouldn't. We don't. God's made a way for us to be glad, to be delighted, to be joyful. He's made it a way. He's made it a way. Psalms, Book of Psalms, Psalm 16. You know, he didn't have to do this for us, but he did it because he loves us. You love your kids so much, you make them worry. You make them fearful. Make them anxious. Well, maybe we do, but we don't do it on purpose. But no, we want to bless our children. We want to bless our wives. We want to bless our husbands. We want to bless our friends. We don't want to hurt them. We don't want them to be disparaging or to be hurt, harmed, anxious, scared. The world promulgates fear and anxiousness and worry and doubt. I mean, good Lord, look at the whole last year or whatever it's been with this stupid stuff. Man, the world has done its best to scare the bejesus out of everybody. You know, even believers getting nervous all the time. Live your life, will you? I got all the joy I ever need. That's right. Psalm 16, did I say? Yeah. Verse 8. I set the Lord always before me. What a thing to say. I set the Lord always before me. Because he's my right hand. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Yeah. I shall not be moved. That's something. And as we grow in our understanding and knowledge of God's word, and as we apply God's word, believe God's word, a lot more certain, a lot more stable in God's ability. So I suggest that we reach out a little further than we have to believe God for the situations that we might be confronted with, whatever they are. And stay at it. Stay at it till you see it come to pass. Stay at it. Because the more we believe God's word, the more sure we become. The more we believe God's word, the more joyful we'll be, more delighted we'll be. The greater joy we'll have in living. You know, this life wasn't made for us so that we could have a horrible life. It's made for us so we could have a life and have it more abundantly, Jesus Christ said. And God wants us to live that way. You know, Psalm 16, we're still there. verse 11. It says, "Thou will show me the path of life." Can you just stop there? Thou shalt show me the path of life. I can read in Malachi where it says the Lord doesn't change. He hasn't changed. He has a path. He has a personal curriculum for you and I to walk in. And that's exciting to pursue that path. And maybe you don't know everything right away, but know that he has a path set before you. He'll show you the path of life. I mean, who in the heck has ever promised that? God. And as we keep him first, as we trust also in him, as we delight in him, he brings all this stuff to pass. I wouldn't change a thing, which is a great song that somebody wrote in our band. Who was that? Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't change. You know, there's a lot of things, maybe mistakes I've made along the way, but I'd be hard-pressed to think anybody. I mean, I've just had the greatest life there is to live. It's been full. It's been 10 lives. And it's been challenging at times, but I have watched God time after time after time after time help, well, all of you, because I've been involved in that. Thou will show me the path of life. Look at, wait for it. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Fullness of joy. Pleasures evermore. What? That's what our God says. Pleasures. Pleasures means pleasantness, delightful. It means sweet, lovely, beautiful. It also means sweet sounding, like a beautiful orchestra or a beautiful song. You know, many of you don't know this, but I like classical music. But I'm particular in what I like because some of it is pretty devilish, actually. I like the sweet stuff that stays sweet. Doesn't go from dun da 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 dun da 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 bum 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 bum. No, that's not good. That's no bueno for the system. But I like the sweet stuff. Pavel, very underrated. Anyway, pleasures, pleasant, delightful, lovely, beautiful, sweet sound like a musical instrument or a choir. A, you know, when you go to a big concert, like a classical concert, or I've never been to one of those choral concerts, big ones anyway, but you can't tell who's singing what, or you can't tell who's playing what until somebody screws up. Then you can say, whoa, that's a big gaffed. Now, but a suite where all things are harmonious and beautiful, it's just beautiful. In thy presence, at thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Man, Psalm 105. Happy, 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 happy in the Lord. Psalm 105. Verse 39. Verse 39 says, this right? He spread a cloud for a covering. This is what God did for the children of Israel to hide them from Egypt. And that cloud, I suppose, was really thick. They couldn't see. A cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. The people ask, and he brought quails, and he satisfied them with the bread of heaven. God fed them. He protected them with a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. And then he fed them with quails. I bet those quails tasted awfully good. You know, I think of Elijah when he was by the brook Cherith and how God fed him every day. The ravens brought food to him. I mean, really? Yeah, really. I've seen God do so many incredible things like this. There was once a person that was driving to Ohio for a yearly festival that we used to have every year. I guess if it's yearly, we had to have it every year. And they didn't have enough money for gas, so they put water in their gas tank. Drove all the way to headquarters on water. Drove all the way back to California on water. Of course, then other believers found out that that happened, so they figured they could do it, and it ruined their engines. But, you know, God did that for that person. Don't tell me he's changed. He hasn't changed. He's done some miraculous things, and you all know that. A cloud, a fire. I mean, a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. The people asked, he brought quails and satisfied them with bread in heaven. He opened a rock, and waters gushed out, and they ran in dry places like the river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. For God to deliver his people is such a joyous thing for him to do. He is just waiting for us to reach out and let him do what he can do, what we can't do. Too often, we take on the responsibility of what only God can do. And that is counterproductive. I've seen it taint believers believing. Because they think that by doing that, they're believing. Well, maybe not. Maybe reach up and let God do stuff for you. He remembered his promise, it says, that he made to Abraham. Well, he remembers his promises that he makes to you and I. For God to deliver his people is such a joy to his life. He loves blessing people. It was a joy for God to deliver Israel. And he still has great delight and gladness and joy of delivering his people now. 3 John, which is after 2 John, which is after 1 John, and near Revelation. 3 John. I don't know where to put you, George. 3 John, verse 4. And this is God speaking. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Wow. And the word walk means to live. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk or live in the truth. Jesus Christ said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And all of it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It says in Peter that knowing this first, the prophecy of the scripture did not come in olden time by the will of men, and that it's of no private interpretation. It didn't. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God told people what to write, and they wrote it down. That can't be so far-fetched. If you think it's far-fetched, someday take a look at the sky when you can see the stars. Someday take a look at the ocean and the vastness of it. Someday take a look at the mountains and the beauty of them. Or look at these flowers that God produces year after year after year. Wouldn't it be, it would have been easy, I suppose, to make everything brown. Just every color brown. We're brown, our clothes are brown, the floor is brown. The dirt is brown, the flowers are brown, the food is brown, all the birds look the same. Oh, golly, but no. He made things beautiful. He made things lovely. He made things gorgeous. Something. He has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in the truth, that live in the truth. Why wouldn't we? Knowing what we know, why would anyone not want this? I know there's a devil, and that's really the bottom line reason. But there are people who want what we have. We just need to share it with them. I was looking at a Instagram thing. Oh, I got knocked off Instagram. Did I tell you this thing? Mm-hmm. Well, just, is it Instagrams? It was the city of Alameda. I'm on their site. So I get to see what's happening in Alameda. That's where I'm from, California. Right. And I comment on how great the parks were and how much I like playing baseball and all that stuff. And growing up there was just the greatest place in the world. And I mean it. And then somebody posted something. And all the posts are supposed to be about Alameda. Oh, Bruce, you've been knocked off a couple times. I know you have. So this, I'm not sure how to phrase it. I don't know if it was a transgender. I don't know if it was a transvestite. I'm quite not sure what I even, any of that stuff out there now. But one of those type of people posted a picture of themselves and then made a plea for acceptance in Alameda, or, you know, you should accept blah, 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 blah. And, you know, all I said, and this, honest, all I said was, this post is supposed to be about Alameda. And then 10 minutes later, I got a note saying, your note was
canceled.
Yeah, and gave some stupid reading. I was like, I wrote back, but then I never heard. You know, it's just so ridiculous. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. That's pretty simple. That's a happy time. God's happy when we walk in the truth. You want to make God happy? Walk in the truth. I bring that up. Oh, I don't know. Psalm 105. All I know is we can make God happy by believing what he says. I mean, it's up to that person to believe what they want, but don't put it on Alameda. What do you have to do with Alameda? Yeah.
Exactly.
Psalm 105, verse 43. And it said, oh, look at this. He brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. What? He brought forth his people with joy. Do you understand how much it blesses God to deliver us? It blesses God probably even more than it blesses us. He just wants to bless you because he's God. He's God. He has no greater joy, remember? And he brought forth his people here, it says, with joy. And his chosen. Now, of course, we know that here he's referring to Israel. Does anybody know what Ephesians 1:4 says?
Been chosen for the foundation.
Yeah, that's kind of it. How's it start? What? Quit mumbling.
According as he has chosen us.
That's exactly right. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What a God. He chose us too. So here it says, he brought forth his people with joy. Another place it says, the Lord's portion is his people. Deuteronomy 32 something. Nine, thanks. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. He is more happy to deliver us than we are to be delivered. We got to give it to him, man. Give it up. Shake it down. Yeah, look at Jeremiah 15. How do you know this one? A lot of you know all of them. Jeremiah, five senses wise, had a miserable life. He had a tough go of it. There was always somebody after him. He was always in trouble. He got put in jail. He just had a tough time. Yet, verse 16, it says, thy words He didn't say my words. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. God's word to Jeremiah was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. What was his rejoicing and joy? God's word. Every time we read or every time we hear God's word, it should bring joy to our lives. You know, I don't know about you, but the reason I go to fellowship is to get built up, to get, you know, get set straight if I need to, or whatever, you know, just whatever it is that we need. I go with the expectation that it's going to help my life. And boy, he never disappoints me when my expectations like that. Every time we read or when we hear God's word, it should bring some sort of joy to our lives. God joys and delights, and he's glad to deliver his people. God's word is our joy. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. It should be our joy. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. What a wonderful way to serve people. We make mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing. He just prayed and prayed. Your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. You know, a lot of people, you know, through the years get elected for office, get elected for PTA. Oh, boy, you want to do yourself a disservice. Be the president of the PTA. That would be just the worst thing. I used to help my kids by, well, verse 3. Your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel, which was the mystery, which was that Jews and Gentiles would be fellow heirs and of the same body, and that it would be Christ in every believer, whether they were Jew or Gentile. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were, we became among you for your sake. Boy, that's a loving thing to do if you're going to lead. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. That's a tremendous section. These believers had a lot of affliction, but they still received God's word with joy. It's the word of God we got to continue to fight for in our hearts. And that's what we have to assist other people. That's what I have. I have God's word and I have God's power. That's it. That's what I have. That's how I can help you. I don't know how to help anybody any other way. I don't know how to help. I'd like to. I wish I knew all kinds of stuff. But I know the word enough that I know that I can help with the word. Look at Acts 8. And we'll be getting into this one, I think, at the advance. I received all the different teaching of the subjects of the teachings from the people that are going to teach, and it's going to be a really, really, that is going to be a really fun weekend. I have no idea what, it's totally different than anything we've ever done, so it'll be exciting. Acts 8, and you know, in Acts 7, Stephen was stoned to death. Paul had consented at Stephen's death. Horrible things. They were hailing men and women into prison. They were throwing people in prison. They'd come into people's homes like this and just rip you out and throw you in jail, kill you, beat you. do whatever they want. And finally, there was a mass exodus from Jerusalem amongst the believers. And it says in verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word, not preaching how sad they were that they had to move. Not preaching how bad they felt about Stephen's death. Not preaching about anything but the word, the word, the word. They left their homes. And people then had children. People then had jobs. People then had schools the kids had to go to. They moved to an entirely different area. They that were scattered abroad went about everywhere preaching the word. And Philip, who was arguably one of Stephen's best friends who had just been stoned to death, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He didn't preach how sad he was. He didn't preach anything negative. It doesn't say so anyway. He preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ. And the people with one accord, they were like-minded. When these believers met with Philip, they were like-minded. And because they were like-minded, they gave heed, which means they paid attention to. They listened to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You know, it's one thing to talk about the word. It's another thing to operate the manifestations of the Spirit, see people healed. You know, you can talk. Great, and it's great that you talk, but when's the last time you healed somebody? When's the last time you got somebody born again? When's the last time you led somebody into speaking in tongues? When's the last time you witnessed to somebody about the new birth? When's the last time we did anything? Were we manifested power? Are we just a bunch of fugazis? Or are we people that believe? See? It's nice to be nice to everybody. I'm not interested in that. I am. But show me. And that's what Philip did. They listened to Philip because they saw and heard, not just saw, but they heard some of the stuff that Philip had done. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Like what? Like unclean spirits flying out of people. Crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with devil spirits, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. There wasn't great joy necessarily that they had to up and leave from their homes. There wasn't necessarily great joy that perhaps they had to get another job, maybe not live in as nice a home. Maybe their kids didn't go to the perfect schools anymore. The ones that are rated really high. You know what? Boogie boogie. You got it. It was a difficult time for the believers there. It was hard. And yet, there was great joy and gladness because of the word. There was great delight because of God's word being manifested in the life of Philip. And they saw it and they heard it. And there was great joy. The word was preached and people got delivered. I trust that these fellowships aid us in deliverance, in helping us. Not just tickling our ears and go, oh, that was nice. Is there any greater joy than when one of us leads somebody into the new birth? Oh, you're so happy. Just last night, Albert was there. We met with that four different households that are living together now in the Milltown area. And it's always thrilling to be with them. And I always let people share at the end and ask any questions or see if anybody wants to share anything, kind of like here. And this girl, Kelsey, had just visited the believers in Atlanta and was with Stephanie Shum. And she was with this guy who had come to fellowship a couple years ago, but kind of drifted away and just eating with him, I think. And he asked her, basically, how can you be sure, you know, you're a son of God? She read to him with Kelsey, Romans 10:9, and he said, "Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic." And then they got to, and Albert, fill in if I'm missing anything. They got to her home, and Eddie was there, and they were there, and I don't know, what were they doing? Were they?
I don't know if she mentioned it.
They were talking.
Yeah, they were just hanging out.
And then, yeah, and then he had more questions like, "Well, how could I be sure?" And then Eddie, man, he said, "Well, they spoke in tongues. That's the only proof in senses world that you got Holy Spirit. And you want to speak in tongues." And Eddie let him right into tongues. And I thought, that is the classic Stephanie and Eddie, because Stephanie is the opener and Eddie is the closer. He closes the deal, and he is really good at that, and I've seen him do it before. But what joy, this is the point, does that bring in the heart of a believer that ministers the new birth, ministers speaking in tongues, or ministers healing to someone and they get healed? Holy mackerel! It's a big deal. Or if you just share one verse with somebody, and it just changes their life. You remember those verses maybe that changed your life? I do. Or someone got healed or delivered. Boy, shout it out. It's such a great thing to hear about. What joy, what gladness, what delight. I love that some of these folks in our fellowship are praying in the mornings. I think it's great, and it has an effectiveness that only maybe God will know in the end. But boy, oh boy, God honors that stuff. And when they do it, I trust they expect that those things that they're praying for is going to come to pass. Otherwise, why bother praying? Go back to sleep. Go to Psalm 91. But last night when Kelsey shared that, it thrilled my heart. I was just like, what? So great. Psalm 91, 91st Psalm, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. Remember that safety. He's my fortress. He's my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, that's so sweet. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And these things, you know, we're living in these things. These devilish things happen all the time. But the answer is God. Verse 6 again, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's the life. That's how we live. That's our habitation, God. That's how we live. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Wow. God delivers those who set their love upon him. I will set him on high because he knew my name, had known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. Either God lied or he told the truth. If he lied, we ought to just go party. And we ought to do that anyway. But if he told the truth, man, oh man, let's benefit from it. Let's see the baby. Let's see God's hand in our lives. I will deliver him, honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wow. What a section. What a section. What a God. Luke 15. You know, a lot of things about this past year have been horrible, but one thing that hasn't been has been the access that people have had to going to all the different fellowships, hearing a wide range of people teaching, young people, old people, black people, white people, Spanish people, Indian people, Egyptian people, all kinds of people, all different age groups. Armenians even. Luke 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Oh, I don't know what that's like, but the angels rejoice. Everybody's happy. They probably throw a big party. They have a dance party. They, you know, they do. I don't know what they do. I don't really know. I don't know. All I know is that they're happy. He repents when somebody changes, when somebody gets born again. Holy moly. That is just like the greatest thing. They're happy. Are you happy? Happy? For heaven and all of its hosts, it's like just the greatest thing. When somebody gets delivered, when somebody gets born again of God's Spirit, they just rejoice like crazy. It's like, I don't know. You know, I've seen probably 5 or 6 children delivered. And 3 of them were mine. So those 3, I mean, there was such labor involved at first and pain, and then the baby, and all that pain and all that weariness and all that tiredness and all the for me, you know, anxiousness. Don't ever take your blood pressure in the room of that, but all went away when you see that baby. Healthy, beautiful baby, little toes, little eyes. And you know what? As you get older, you develop into looking like the baby. So, but how joyful of a thing is a baby being born? You know, it takes a while to get there. 9 months of labor. but your wife being pregnant, which isn't always pleasant for her, which means it isn't always pleasant for you. And yet, at the end of those 9 months, those little suckers come right out of there. And first of all, you're like, holy mackerel, how could that big thing come out of that little thing? Even that, I mean, all the stuff that goes on with having a baby, you know what I mean? And you see this baby born, and it's just like, you cry. I don't know if you did. I cried, and then I just was laughing. I remember when Jossie was born. She was born on December 18th. That night, we had for those of you who know what WW ambassadors were, I was, you know, state coordinator. I had the whole entire state ambassadors here at my home for dinner. We were just down the block at a birthing center. And so it was like 35 people here eating. Were you here? And of course, I was with Joyce, but about, I don't know, 2 hours after we had the baby, these guys were just finished eating. I grabbed the baby and I brought her, and I let every wow hold that baby. And she wasn't more than 4 hours old. And, you know, I just wanted to share the celebration. Joyce wasn't especially happy with that part. But, but I got the baby back. I had to do it. The wows were here. But God wants us to be filled with joy and gladness. He doesn't want us to be bad and depressed and mean and nasty. And doesn't want our guts to wrench. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be delighted. He wants us to be glad. 1 John, which is actually before 3 John and 2 John. Chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and we bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen, and that means you see it with your eyes, and you heard it with your ears, that what we've seen, and that which we've heard, declare we unto you. We've seen it, we've heard it, and now we're speaking it. Good thing to remember. That you, people I'm talking to, here, also fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing quite like having fellowship with the believers either. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full to the top, filled to the top. And as when we walk and we fellowship with God, our joy overflows, and it comes out of us, you know. People see it. People know it, and God's word is a joy to those who meekly receive it. And one of the great prophets of us, prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, to us walking in the fullness of what God has made available to us is joy. That's one of the great things that we can manifest in our lives. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. A fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's something that we manifest as we believe the word and what we've been freely given. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, look at how Paul thinks of them. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul's heart, it was so great towards the believers. He called them his joy, called them his crown. God's people were Paul's joy and crown. There's joy, there's gladness, there's delight when we are with believers. And as we remain hungry on God's word, as we continue to desire God's word in our life and stand to the best of our ability on it, then we make God glad. God gets really blessed by doing that. And of course, we get blessed too. It's called a good deal. A good deal is when both parties get blessed. A good deal isn't when you get one over on someone. A good deal is when everybody gets blessed. So remain hungry to grow and you'll get blessed. 3 John 4 again says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. We don't give God any greater joy than when he hears we're walking on God's word. Then everybody gets blessed. We get blessed. God gets blessed. The whole family gets blessed. And that's what I wanted to share. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for the joy that you made available for us to have in our lives. Thank you for these wonderful people. Father, for helping each and every one of us in the areas that we have trouble with. And deliver us from those troubles, Father, because you're God. If your Son, Jesus Christ, was the beginner and the finisher of our believing, then we just give it to you right now. We cast all our care on you, knowing that you care for us and that you heal us and you deliver us and you help us in every aspect of our lives. We pray for our minds to be settled and our hearts to be joyful. And Father, for your peace just to reign in a huge way. Thank you for the privilege it is to be your children. And for a great night ahead and a great week. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.